Hi, this is Bob Hale. I'm excited. For 25 years, you have been coming to Inman Connect. Now, Connect is coming to you. Find out the details at inman.com.
Hi, this is Brad Inman with my daily podcast. And I've got someone on the show today that I deeply admire. And I've watched him step it up in terms of his growth curve as a CEO. Some people come into these jobs and they just kind of are who they are when they started, and others grow into the position. And faced with all the crap that's going on in the world right now, I've watched Adam Kontos from afar, but close up on, you know, the interactive world we live in now. Adam's the CEO of RE/MAX, and I think is just doing quite an amazing job. Welcome, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Brad. Thanks for having me on the show.
I really appreciate it. Now, you're in Colorado, right? I've always think of RE/MAX as Colorado Rockies. Is that, are you out there somewhere in those beautiful Rockies?
I am out hiding in the Rockies right now, looking at some of these beautiful snow-capped peaks. The water's flowing, and I hope to catch some fish this weekend as well.
Now, is that trout? You do like that trout fishing thing up there? Or what do you do?
Yeah. Do a little bit of trout fishing here. So I've got my fishing pole in my truck here, and I can't wait to get out there with it.
Oh, great. Well, I won't keep you long. Hey, let's jump into something. I just mentioned the pre-call here. You've been running around the country talking to so many people in the real estate community. And so you got your ears to the ground about what's really going on. And we can focus on agents, but I also thought some of the broker owners specifically, how they're doing, what you hear they're feeling. And I know it's not all the same, right? It's different from location to location. And any stories that you're hearing about how they're handling this, and really, I guess the main thing is how they're planning to the future is one thing I'm curious about. And you know, just riff on, Adam. I'm going to hand the mic to you. You go for it.
All right. Thanks, Brad. And I didn't get to say hi to Yaz as well, so please give my best.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. So this is an interesting time to just zoom out around the world. And it's fascinating because usually in our industry, we deal with regional issues, but this is a humanitarian issue and a global issue. So it's fascinating to talk to people from South America or Africa or Europe, all over the place, including obviously North America quite extensively. But it's interesting. What we're finding is first couple weeks, people were, you know, very on edge. They were uptight and tense. And what am I going to do with my business? And then they've kind of fallen into place of, hey, I have to be a good communicating human being and be kind to others. And it's, I think this is actually through the crisis, through this, this economic downturn and all the challenges that we're facing, we're actually seeing a lot of good humanity coming out in our industry. And I'm very proud and honored to be part of the industry like that. And I know you guys have been doing a great job of going out and finding so many of those things as well to report on. So it's just been really cool to see that. But interesting, you had mentioned something during the pre-call here about brokers being more communicative and actually getting closer to their agents in this process. And I think that's a big piece to focus on because we are community in the real estate industry, and we have to communicate in order to get these deals done. So what we're finding is agents are actually finding a better way to do that. And that's really, really good. I think it's good for the consumer. I think it's good for the agent, the industry, and frankly helps our professionalism too.
I couldn't agree more. And, I just noticed that, you know, broker owners telling me, and that's not me, you know, telling me that they are, you know, on Zoom calls every single day or twice a week or three times a week, talking to their agents, never have talked to their agents more. And that alone is so important, right? Listening and communicating and empathy. Let me ask you this. We saw back in the day, 10 years ago, a pretty fundamental shift, in the industry. You could arguably say that, you know, that's when Zillow emerged as a kind of consumer portal. That's when Realogy was on its heels because of its debt. That kind of opened up, you know, Compass a few years later. I mean, there were some things that came out of that period that shifted kind of real estate, not the business model so much, not, you know, agents didn't go out of business, broker owners didn't go out. I mean, some did. Any ideas and anything that you're seeing here that could alter or you know, shift how, and I'm not asking to name names, but just any changes, anything at all you're seeing, and or any feel or gut you have about what's around the bend. And when we look back in 5 years, we'll go, aha, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, I love this question because you're absolutely right. And a decade ago when we were emerging from the Great Recession, we saw the consumer bring us what they wanted to see changed in the industry. So I think most of the emergence of different ways of doing business that occurred at that point were because of them and their needs. Now, this is our turn to bring to the consumer our changes in the industry. And we're seeing so many of the great leaders in our industry across the board come out and say, hey, look, we can do things this way and it will help the consumer, it will help get the transaction done, help the agent, things like that. So I think this is our chance to build in our efficiencies instead of the consumer bringing us what they want to see happen. It's our chance to help them find it. So I think we're seeing a lot of that right now. And you look at, you know, just the digitization of what's going on. It goes everywhere from telemedicine and how experts are now consulting with people before getting in person with them. That's forcing service industries like ours to step forward and realize that video and that digitization, that communication piece is imperative. So it's a speed to that right now. And I believe we're delivering it to them instead of the consumer demanding it from us. So it's kind of nice for us to be in the driver's seat on that.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And clearly the industry has. I mean, they're adopting all this wonderful technology that, you know, all of us were preaching for so long. It took a pandemic. But, you know, realtors are realtors. They're back against the wall. They'll find a way. And it's just beautiful to watch. Tell me this. Are we going to see some consolidation in the industry? I got a tip just this weekend from a pretty influential person that there's going to be some big news coming out. What's your, and I don't know how big it is. Sometimes what's big, Adam, in somebody's mind is the fact they adopted a new CRM, but they certainly made it sound bigger. But anything on the consolidation front that you would imagine, like small boutiques, or will there be a merger of big franchises? Will anybody go on a tear and start acquiring companies? Any sense of that? Because that certainly happened 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think consolidation always happens when there's economic pressure, because people figure out truly how much dry powder they have and how much runway they have in their organization. You'll see, you know, there are a lot that are strong and a lot that have shown the cracks in their infrastructure. So the answer is yes. Can I put my finger on anything in particular? Not at this time, but everybody's certainly watching and trying to figure out what does that consolidation look like. And when we think traditional consolidation, that's the second part of that question, is there going to be a new way that we see consolidation occur? Because people are thinking a little bit differently right now. Is it like kinds getting together, or is it somebody picking up a different business model than completely adapting that business model and bringing it in to adapt there? So I don't know. I agree. Yes, there's going to be
that would be a big change, because what we've seen is the traditional companies, and I don't use that word as a pejorative, buying technology, SaaS things like you did, like Realogy did. And then you got, you know, the Zillows and Trulios of the world buying tech companies that complement their model. You know, we just saw the filing by Zillow. They got $2.6 billion and just another billion, and they said they were going to make acquisition. What would really be interesting is what you just said. RE/MAX by, you know, a different sort of tech company, not just a vendor, or one of those tech companies buys a more traditional real estate company. That would be, looking back in 10 years, we'd go, that was a sea change. It'll be, I mean, none of us know, right? I guess anything's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything's possible. I think it's even more possible now, Brad, given the fact that we've all proved that we could work remotely. So you're not going to run into the crash of company cultures as much as you would have before. So I think there's a different way that companies are going to integrate moving forward as mergers occur, not just in our space, but in other spaces as a result of what we're finding out right now.
Yeah, for sure. Any other trends? Like, where do you think we're going to be? I mean, this economic downturn isn't like going to go away overnight, is it, Adam?
No, it's certainly not. But I think what we're going to find is that people find new ways of revenue generation in order to make up for it. So, you know, you talk about mergers, I think that's going to be a big part of it. How can I go pick up other sources of revenue generation?
And those would include, I think, off the top of our heads, we know it's property management, it's BPOs, it's probably, you know, up working with banks if there's any fallout from foreclosure after forbearance. You know, we've been talking a lot about in the iBuy movement, they're back, and how do we get realtors inserted in there to protect the consumer from this kind of crazy partnership between Wall Street and technology. Any other thoughts of where we might see some of those revenue sources come from?
I think it's too early to say. You know, we look back and we have a very short distance to look back over in this change. You know, we've only been in this thing for just over 2 months. So I think looking forward, we have to look at least this far before we have a better sense of it. So I don't know quite yet, but I think it's safe to say that when you read some of the large industry pontificators, and I don't say our industry, I think, you know, the large consulting firms, the big five, things of that nature, you start looking at what they're talking about, they're looking at differences in how the consumer thinks. And I think how the consumer thinks is going to drive a little bit more of that than how we think about our industry. So I think still TBD, Brad. I think we have a little runway on the excitement here, but we will definitely see some paradigm shifts as a result of it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We're finding and talking to a lot of people that the consumers are totally on board with all this technology. It was the industry that lagged adopting it. Totally on board with virtual walkthroughs. Totally. I mean, who wants to have a notary, you know? Who wants a wet signature? I never in my life met a consumer said, oh, I want a wet signature. You know, it's like someone's still writing checks in the grocery line. You know, that kind of went away. And I think now we have this beautiful situation where the industry's adopting all the tech that the consumer's been ready for a long time ago. And it's beautiful. They want a more efficient transaction. They want an easier transaction. They want to do things virtually.
I think a lot of it is the regulatory environment has actually been impacted so heavily by this that they have to figure out efficiencies in their space.
Yes.
In order for them to, you know, I think that's a driving factor for it. So whatever pushes on the, you know, the regulators, the government entities to be able to do this by spending less money with fewer people, I think that's what's going to drive a lot of that change.
Yeah. You know, I've been telling and going out, I think I've gone to 40 cities and I've got a ton of realtors that they have a lot of clout now. Go to your title company, your mortgage company and say, adopt everything digital you can, because as everyone knows, it's the realtor that makes the referral to the consumer for the title and the mortgage company. And if your old partnership with one of those companies isn't delivering the goods, like, you know, a lot of title companies in a lot of states, they can force the hand of a digital notary and save the consumer a lot of anxiety. And particularly now, you know, printing out docs, sending docs. I mean, my God, having someone come to your house, I mean, that's risking someone's life. And so suddenly now the realtors have a lot of clout to push all those vendors to do what we know they should do. And I'm hearing more and more stories of realtors doing that, you know, using the authority and the clout they have. And I think broker owners can do it too. I'm hoping.
Yeah, it was funny. I guess not funny. We always tried to push cybersecurity as being a great way to increase these different measures. But, you know, ultimately what it took is personal safety, like what you just pointed out. So it's unfortunate that it comes to that. However, you know, it's humanity. It's how can we best influence the change to happen? And if somebody's, you know, welfare is not at risk, then maybe they're not willing to change, but it is now. So.
Yeah, it's amazing, a pandemic. Who would have thought it would make a lot of this stuff happen? How optimistic are you about the housing market and the industry? Let's say the summer, the fall, and let's even take us out next year, one at a time. How optimistic are you about the summer? Are you worried? Are you discouraged? Or are you encouraged? What do you think?
No, I'm very encouraged, Brad. When you look at the really, if you just take a look at the numbers, look at the statistics, the directional movement of the leading indicators, and then you also look at some of the other countries that lead us in the United States from a pandemic perspective, it all indicates that we're going to have a strong mid-year and second half of the year. And I think we're going to make up for a fair amount of the first half of the year and the second half. So yes, we're going to see a decrease is my assumption. However, I don't think it's going to be as drastic as we originally thought it was going to be, simply because we had that glut in some of our key ramp up months to the buying space. And as a result, all those people just pushed pause. And now they figured out that they want to move even more. So combine that with the fact that people are seeing fewer houses before they write an offer. Showings in a lot of areas are way above last year at this time. So, and obviously mortgage rates are high twos at this point in some places. So it all leads to a good time to sell and a good time to buy. And I'm not saying that to be cliche in our space. It truly does look
You're
like.
Right, Adam. Isn't that great? I mean, despite all this crazy, I guess the only big worry though is unemployment. If one member of a household is unemployed, it's hard for that household to afford a house, but there's still plenty of people that are employed. And like you say, low rates. And there's also some anxiousness, isn't there, out there about for some where they live and where they want to go. And they're starting to think about the future differently. And that's probably leading to some activity, do you think?
Well, absolutely. When you and just to touch on the unemployment, the reality of the unemployment is a great deal of those on unemployment at this point are from the service industry. And two things are going to happen. One, they're likely to come back. And second, that's the majority of the renting community as well. Right. And so you don't see as much of the impact to housing. And that's not to be, discounting the feelings of those people, because being on unemployment is horrible. You nobody wants to deal with it. You wake up with anxiety every morning wondering how you're going to feed your family and pay the rent and things like that. But the reality is that's typically not as heavy the demographic of the people. Now, regionally, it might be, call it Las Vegas or something like that, where a great deal of them are in the service industry. And it's a lot of higher paid service industry for that matter. But ultimately, those are likely to be pushed to come back simply because they're a major economic driver in the country. So the government's behind helping them, as well as people aren't likely to stay out of travel as much as they were during, call it 9/11. So I don't think unemployment is going to hurt this as much. And you are absolutely right, Brad. I think people have different housing desires now than they did before when they sit down and talk about what happens if we do this again, where do I want to be? So that is going to push some movement there. Not to mention the fact that there are a lot of people together that don't want to be together anymore after being together for 2 months.
Yeah, we got friends like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think all the real estate agents need to make friends with divorce attorneys, because you're going to get a lot of your business in those areas.
Yeah, it's definitely going to happen. I hate to say. Hey, let's go through some one words. I'll just go through a list, okay? Pocket listings. Here to stay, more or less? What do you think after COVID-19?
I think revisited. I think we're seeing... It's going to be revisited. I think we're seeing a different perspective on it, because... we're going to see a higher velocity market and people are going to want to know what's coming, but there's going to be a new way of doing it.
A complete digital closing this year, next year, or are we finally over the hump of people sticking to the old
this year?
Oh, good. I like that. That makes me feel better, Adam.
Yes.
How about a virtual company, this stuff eXp's doing? Are you seeing your broker owners, or is RE/MAX thinking about, like, why move all those people back to an office building? Where, why not start doing more remote? What are you thinking about that? And what are your broker owners thinking about?
I've talked to a lot, Brad. I've been on a lot of Zoom calls where I've said, okay, raise your hand if you can't wait to get back into an office, and a lot of hands go up. So a lot of people have the mindset of, I can't work from home, or I don't want to work from home or from Starbucks. They have to put themselves, and when you look at the formation of habits, you have to put yourself in an environment where you're most effective. And a lot of people are programmed that way, so I think there's a place for it. you know, it's not for everybody, and neither is the, you know, the virtual environment. So I think there's a combination, and video actually is a great combination of that, but you also want to have a professional place to video from.
Hey, what's the last word for the Inman community? You know, we got a million strong out there, and many Remax, our first readers. When we went live in 96, were interestingly buyer agents and Remax agents, because they tended to be the better, more intelligent agents who were using tech. So I've always been grateful to Remax. Always loved the founders of the company. What's your word to the Inman community before we close this out?
Brad, I'm going to actually use one of your words to make my word here. I think the best thing that people can do right now is connect. So I mean, that word is so powerful. And that's really what you guys have brought to the real estate industry, is getting people together to connect at Inman Connect, obviously. And I think that's what we need to be revisiting with our customers, with the consumer out there, is, you know, that I always say presence creates trust, and you can't be trusted by the consumer to do their largest transaction in their lifetime if you're not connected to them. So you have to engage, you have to connect, and you got to be there for them. So I've seen too many people in the industry hide during this instead of be out there with the consumer to help them understand the new changes, because there are a lot of new changes and they're overwhelmed by those and they're fearful of them. So it's up to us to make sure that everybody understands them, that we continue to raise the bar and set some standards around some of these new ways of doing things in our industry and deliver for the consumer.
Well said, Adam. I keep telling people, you're going to get a report card, not for doing courageous acts necessarily, but for showing up. So show up so your grades aren't too bad. We're all going to look back and say, you know, where was John? And wow, look what Joe did and look what Helen did. But anyway, hey, you're the best. And thank you for your leadership in the industry. You're always humble, and but you're decisive, and you are, more than anyone I've seen in the CEO front, present. And that's everything, Adam. And you too are going to be at the next Connect conference, which is June 2nd to 4th. And I'm really appreciate you coming onto our virtual stage.
It's my pleasure, Brad. Thanks for all you do for the industry. And of course, thank you for what you do for Remax. We do certainly appreciate you and your team. So we send our best to you and them. And of course, your lovely Yaz.
Oh, thank you, my man. And this is Brad Inman checking out. Tune in soon for my next podcast.